On this Labor Day Sunday, hear now the reading of God's Word from the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, offers us these words. Watch out. Watch out for false prophets. For they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree, it bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Well, as you are all aware, school has started. We may be on a holiday break, a Labor Day break, but school has been in session now for a good period of time, and it won't be long before report cards will be going out. Do you remember that time in your life back when you were in school, when either the 6 weeks period or the 9 weeks period, however your school practiced evaluations, you remember when report cards were sent home and how if you did well in your classes, having that report card, taking that report card home, it was a good experience for you. It was a good experience for your parents as well. But if the report card wasn't as good as you had hoped it would be, if you had not performed all that well in class, then when you took that report card home, chances are you had a lot of explaining to do. I can still remember a report card that I received in the first grade. Spelling, A. Arithmetic, A. Social studies, A. Conduct, C. And down at the bottom, under that comments section, the teacher had written, Doug is a good student, but he talks too much in class. And I thought that's what social studies was designed to encourage. Well, you can imagine what my parents locked in on when I brought that report card home. All of the A's could not atone for my less than excellent conduct. And I came to understand early in life a very important lesson. What people know, what people know really isn't worth a hill of beans unless what they know in some way forms and molds and shapes them so that they become good people. Now that's something of what Jesus is getting at in this teaching that he offers his disciples in the course of what has become his most well-known set of teachings, the Sermon on the Mount. When you read the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety, chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew's Gospel, you come to see that Jesus' focus was on the kingdom of heaven and how we disciples join with God in the work that God is about to make God's kingdom come and God's will to be done on earth as it always is in heaven. And in this section of the sermon, Jesus is speaking with his disciples on the importance of our conduct and how our conduct is the ultimate barometer of the depth of our spiritual belief. So as Jesus offers this teaching to his disciples, he encourages them to watch out in the Gospel of Matthew. That is a most characteristic word. Watch out, Jesus says, for false prophets. Evidently, in Jesus' day, there were purported religious authorities who were going around telling people how they ought to be living, but as for themselves, not paying very much attention to their own behavior. There was inconsistency between what they were saying and what they were telling other people to do and what they themselves were doing. Jesus was instructing his disciples to be diligent about making sure that what we say we believe, and how our lives, our actions, our words, our deeds, how they are aligned with our beliefs, our confession and conduct, are designed to work together. Chances are you've heard that poem written by the popular American poet of the early 20th century, Edgar Guest, who said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And while that hits close to home, because preaching is what I do as a profession, it hits close to home for a lot of other reasons for me, and I would think for you, because of how over the course of our years we have seen examples where people have said one thing about their belief, about their commitment to Christ, and on the other hand, have lived entirely in a different way, so that it has caused us to question the validity, the sincerity of their belief. And so here Jesus impresses upon his disciples how we need to make sure that what we produce reflects a heart of dedication. Jesus says to his disciples, just as a thorn bush doesn't produce grapes and thistles don't bear figs, in the same way, a bush bears according to its nature. A person bears according to his or her nature. It is important that you reflect your belief on the basis of the good fruit that you produce. Good fruit being actions, deeds, behaviors that in some way contribute to God's kingdom purposes. Now, clearly, this teaching has always been important to the witness of God's people. It's always been important to the witness of the church. But I can't help but believe that it is even more important in our time, in our day, for our conduct to be in line with our confession. For example, you think back to what you have heard people say as an excuse for not investing themselves in things of faith, in not participating in the life of the church. What has been the one rationalization that has risen to the surface more than any other? I don't care about the church. Why? Because there are too many hypocrites in the church. We've all heard that. And we've all seen that. And yet, for so very many years, in spite of the fact that people were turned away by the inconsistency between confession and conduct, which they saw from people who sat in the pews Sunday after Sunday, whose Sunday life did not translate into their Monday through Saturday lives. There was nonetheless, in years past, nonetheless, this underlying respect for the church. I may not go to the church. I may be turned off by the hypocrisy that I see from people who claim to be followers of Jesus. But by and large, in past days, there was still this respect for what the church stands for. Brothers and sisters, the reason this teaching is so important today is that the day when people may have at least respected the church, even though they would not think of darkening the doors of the church, that day has long passed. That day has long passed. We're in a different day. We're in a different day, a day where people still say there's too much hypocrisy. There's too much inconsistency. People say one thing, they do something entirely different. There's no alignment of confession and conduct. They're no different than I am, even though I claim not to be a believer. What's different today, particularly among younger people, is that they just don't disrespect the church. They see us as being entirely irrelevant to what's going on in our world today. And so the time has come for us to take Jesus' teachings more seriously than we've ever taken them, to the point that we look at our lives, not just our witness, our verbal witness, but we look at how we conduct our affairs to make sure that what we say and what we do come together in such a way that our comprehensive witness is not one that turns people off, but is instead a witness that causes them to see in us something of the joy of God's salvation, a joy that we experience as we live out our beliefs and show others the difference in our everyday experience that our trust in God's grace in Jesus Christ makes each and every day. If we are content in being a people who restrict our understanding of discipleship to just one day a week, Sunday. I mean, I go to church on Sunday, and that's the commitment that I make, to be in church on Sunday. But we divorce our beliefs from everything else that we're about in our Monday through Saturday world. Nothing will change. Things will only become worse. But when we heed this teaching of Jesus and we allow our conviction about who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing in us, if we allow that to permeate every aspect of our existence, our labor and our leisure, our relationships and our finances, if we allow our devotion to Christ to inform everything else we're about in life, then instead of repelling other people, instead of turning off the larger world, there will be an opportunity for us to show people that living for Jesus makes all the difference in the world. If this sounds radical, you don't know about it, you'd like to keep your faith at arm's distance a bit, you must understand that according to Jesus, you cannot. It is inevitable that what we manifest derives from what's inside of us. Just as a bush, a tree, a vine cannot bear fruit contrary to its nature, so we will never be able to reflect a positive, winsome, transforming witness unless we come to a place where we are so grounded in God's grace in Jesus Christ that we cannot help but show people through what we say and what we do that Jesus means all the world to us. That Latin word for radical, if it sounds too radical, the Latin word for radical means to be rooted, to be grounded, to be so invested in a relationship with Jesus that what drives us and what motivates us and what inspires us are not the values. It's not the direction of the prevailing culture. It's instead something that is kingdom driven. It's not of this world. It's of the world that is to come. So that day by day we're helping people to see in our little lives what can happen when people take most seriously the teachings of Jesus? This morning, I would just ask you a question. What do people see in you? What do people see in you? Not just on Sunday. Well, they see that I get up and I go to church. I'm glad you're here this morning. It's important that we come to worship and to be together as a community of faith to receive the inspiration that we need for the rest of the week. What do people see in you in terms of your Monday through Saturday world? Are you like that person of whom it was said, he puts down roots and he puts out leaves? Do people see in you good fruit that reflects positively on the person of Jesus? Herschel Hobbs is a name that if you've been a Baptist for very long, no explanation is needed. For years, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Oklahoma City, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, most of you will know Dr. Hobbs because of the work that he did in writing the commentaries for the Sunday school lessons in the Life and Work series. When I was a young pastor and every Sunday school class used the same literature, I can't tell you how Sunday school teachers would get upset, not if the quarterlies were late, but if Dr. Hobbs' commentary was late. Then we had to call Nashville and make a special order. That commentary had to get there. He was of such inspiration to so many Baptists over the years. You may have seen his little red pamphlet, The Baptist Faith and Message, and the explanation that Dr. Hobbs gave to those basic Baptist beliefs that are intended to inform how Baptist churches are to behave. And in one of his sermons, as he was impressing upon his congregation in Oklahoma City, this very point, you've got to align your confession and your conduct. He told the story of a judge who had been a dear friend of his during his Texas days. The judge had passed away. The family of the judge had asked Dr. Hobbs to come to Dallas and to preach the judge's funeral, which Dr. Hobbs was more than happy to do because the judge had been such an important person in his life and his ministry. And so, because the judge was so well known and well regarded, the church to which the judge belonged couldn't handle the crowd of people that would be present for his funeral service. And so they put up this massive tent on the judge's ranch outside of Dallas, and they held the funeral service there. And there were so many flowers for the judge's funeral that they had to bring in, imagine this, 2 transfer trucks, semi-trailers, to hold all of the flowers that were being given in memory of the judge. Dr. Hobbs said that as he was watching the ranch hands transfer the flowers from the 2 large trucks to the massive tent, he remarked to one of the ranch hands, "Well, it sure is a lot of flowers, isn't it?" The old judge he'd be pleased to know this many people thought about him, all of these flowers. One of the ranch hands said to Dr. Hobbs, "Well, preacher, you got to remember that the old judge had been planting the seeds for those flowers for an awfully long time. He had been planting seeds that would give bloom to those flowers for an awfully long time. So in your life and in your labor, in everything that you are about, what are you planning? And more importantly, what are you producing? It's a critical question. Because one day, Jesus is coming back to this earth. And when that day comes, you and I will have to give an account. Not just for everything that we have said over the course of our lives. You and I are going to have to give an account for everything that we have done. For everything we have produced. And on that day, Jesus is going to give us His appraisal. So until then, let us live lives that reflect favorably upon Jesus. Lives that honor our profession of Him as our Savior and Lord, so that when Jesus returns to tell us how we've done, we may hear His report with gladness and joy. Well done. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Well done.